following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is NFC Championship Week. Tom Silverstein and I here from Lambeau Field. It's a little crazy, different backdrops, nine times as many media, guys at podiums. You know, Tom, so the pomp and circumstance has begun. And we'll start there because it seems like the mantra, the message for the Green Bay Packers this week is to keep it the same, keep it normal. And you know, obviously hope to have a better result the second time around in Santa Clara.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't sound very excited. I was like, you must be buying into Matt LaFleur's this is just another game, normal week kind of thing. Here I'm all fired up for my eighth NFC championship game involving the Packers. I'm just looking forward to a good game. I think that's I'm also a little giddy because we're getting closer to the end of the season and I can take a break. Yep. You people, listeners, you might not appreciate that, but if you've been through as many weeks as we have been and the last few have been, you know, with road trips and everything. Anyway, I'm not complaining. He has kept it really normal, and I have to say I thought the players, I think they're veteran enough that this has not overwhelmed them. I think, you know, you get a young team with a lot of rookies, it can be kind of overwhelming, all the media presence and stuff like that, but I didn't really sense that big of a difference amongst the players.
No, and I'll start with Sunday night in Seattle. Where it didn't feel, it felt like week six in that locker room after that playoff win.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is it's a home game, so guys wanted to dress and get out and get home. There was no sort of celebratory, made it another round kind of deal. And Tremont Williams actually and I had a conversation about that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty impressed by that in terms of some of those younger guys that you talked about. And he would know. I mean, it's him, it's Adrian Amos, who's never won a playoff game, and then a bunch of first and second year guys. I mean, Kevin King's been around now, but as King said, I've never been in the playoffs. So, you know, in terms of the keeping it normal and level situation, I think that's, you know, if you're the head coach, you know, also going through it for the first time as the head man, I would imagine that bodes kind of well, right? You don't have a team that's getting too over its skis emotionally.
I would. I thought that I agree with you about the Seattle game. I thought that they felt it was not the excitement was not as big as when they beat the Vikings in Minnesota for the NFC North Championship. That to me was their big celebration. Since then, it's been sort of just a march onward. And part of the reason I think the Seattle game, the celebration was a little muted was because those defensive guys had to be exhausted. I mean, they chased Russell Wilson all over the field. I think they were just happy that it was over.
Right. And then make no mistake, those are the guys who are the loudest and the most spirited, if you will.
Exactly. So, but even so, this has not been a team that's been giddy or in over its head. I also was talking to Tremont Williams about this during a locker room session on Wednesday, and we were talking about the 2010 season when they caught fire in the second half. And everything they talked about there was about chemistry and how good their chemistry became. They had some injuries, a lot of injuries, lost some key guys in that year, but they just sort of hit their stride, and the locker room was really good. The difference that he has seen is that this locker room has hit its stride a lot earlier, that they've been, the chemistry has been good since way, way before the season even started. And I think that's been a key to, you know, the fact that they can come back from a devastating win. They can beat a team and not get too high. And that they tend to find ways to win even if they're not playing their best.
Yeah, you, Pete Doherty, and I have had this roundabout conversation about chemistry. And does winning beget chemistry? Chemistry beget winning? What does it mean? And I do think it applies to this game coming up, Tom, in that you're right. I mean, it all started for some in the workouts, the first mini camps. For some, it clicked in training camp. Keep an eye out at JaysOnline.com. We'll get into all that in the coming weeks, win or lose. But you mentioned that, though, Tom, and I think the reason that applies for this week is because there seems to be a sense of there was no blame or finger pointing or you know, guys messing up or whatever after that loss in San Francisco. And yeah, they won six straight, but even this week when we're all bringing it back up and asking them about all those, you know, terrible moments that led to that game, it's been a lot of self introspection or look in the mirror. Like,
I think that's a good way to put it. I agree with you. A lot of times teams will get really sensitive about that. Well, that was 6 weeks ago, and, you know, we're not thinking about that. And I heard that from a rookie or two. But when you talk to Tremont Williams and Blake Martinez and Kenny Clark and guys like that, they are introspective. Well, you know, this was going on and we corrected it. And this was going on and we worked on that. We realized we were weak in communication and we were not on the same page. And, you know, I thought that that's part of having veterans on a team, is that they're not afraid to go back and talk about things that went wrong and then how they've worked to correct it. And they have a lot of things to correct from that game. There were a lot of things that did go bad. But, you know, the other thing, the point I wanted to make, you know, while you were talking about chemistry too, is none of this happens without talent. I mean, you can have the best chemistry in the world, and you got to have talent. And I think they've proved that they do have a very high level. I don't think it's as high as San Francisco's level of talent, but I think they're in the neighborhood, and that's why they're playing in the NFC Championship game. I sort of wrote about it, or I did write about it on Tuesday for Wednesday, about what Gutekunst has done in 1 year to build this team. And if you think about it, he added six starters in free agency in the draft. I mean, that's for a team that really wasn't that far from being in the playoffs, that's astounding. And then he goes and he gets guys like Channon Sullivan, signs him, Ibrahim Campbell during training camp. Then he goes and gets Tyler Irvin, and he gets Jared Veldheer. And I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody else that I wrote about. But, you know, he keeps adding these pieces that have fit in really well. And I think then you add in the chemistry, and that's why they are where they are.
Yeah, for sure. And before we get into these matchups, I want to remind you that this Thursday's in January, head over to Pottawatomie Hotel Casino. Play the Battle Win Ball game show to win $5,000 in cash. To earn entries, just play your favorite games using your club card. Learn more at paysbig.com/winball. And Tom, I, you know, you mentioned these players, these role players. Tyler Irvin's more than a role player now. Jared Veldheer's been more of a, essentially your starting right tackle the last two games they played.
But
spinning forward though, you know, this is a healthy team. They're still, as we record this, as you listen to this, they're still dealing with this illness to a degree. San Francisco's gotten healthier. Quan Alexander's back. Dee Ford is back. So some guys who were not there to beat up Aaron Rodgers the first time around are there now. So I'm going to start there, Tom, because it always starts with the offensive line. And let's just assume Bulaga's over this bug. You wrote about how David Bakhtiari is sort of feeling his best in a long time. Corey Linsley said right after the game how poor a game he played in San Francisco and what he needed to do to be better. So let's start there. Is that let's assume Bulaga doesn't go out after nine plays. Mm-hmm. Are they in better shape up front? Also considering now who's in the front five to seven for San Francisco also.
I do think they're in better shape. I think that, as you said, David Bakhtiari's playing much better football. I think Brian Bulaga's played good football all year long. I think he just got injured in that game. And then that was like blood in the water, blood in the ocean, because then they started putting Nick Bosa over Alex Light, and it was, lights out. So this week, I think David Bakhtiari has a little bit of a chip. I know I've heard him say this several times in conversations, that it'll be different the next time. He had that bad game against Joey Bosa, and I think some of the it carried over to San Francisco, even though Bosa did most of his damage on the other side. I think there's still this perception that he didn't play the Bosas very well. And I think he's got a little chip there that he wants to shut down a Bosa. Yeah. One way, any way he can, he's going to shut down a Bosa. Now, that's great. So their tackles are going to be probably playing pretty well. But I think San Francisco does the most of its damage in the interior. Those guys are big and tall, and they get their hands up, and they make it hard for quarterbacks to see over the line of scrimmage, and they penetrate, and they're fast, and they can roll guys in and out. They got multiple guys on that defensive line. It's got to be more than just two guys playing really well. All those three guys in the middle, they got to have the games of their lives.
Yeah. I guess colleague, if you will, Mike Silver from the NFL Network, who is clearly plugged in to this team, right?
I know Mike from right. Way, way,
way. And the reason I bring it up, Tom, is because he went out and said that there's a chance that Matt LaFleur is going to call Sean McVay, which to me means he's probably got that from the head coach, and also a look at how Los Angeles moved Jared Goff and moved the pocket and got that offensive line going in different ways to get Jared Goff more chances to A, not get beat up, B, get rid of the ball, maybe take some shots that they didn't have the first game. And obviously the Rams, you could argue, should have won that second game. So I'll start there. You can't really change your identity, I don't think, from a pass protection-wise, but we've talked about how Rodgers hasn't been that great on the move. Mm-hmm. Is that something that can be incorporated at this juncture? Is it worth it, or is it just a matter of they've got whatever, even if it's keeping the tight ends in and running some more 21 personnel type of thing to just block better?
I think they can do a lot of different things. Okay. Their offensive line isn't young, and it can adjust to whatever plays are called. And they got sprint outs and roll outs and tons of bootlegs and play action. I'm curious to see, if you go back, it was just one play out of the 49ers game, but Leroy and I looked at it, Leroy Butler and I looked at it in the X's and O's video. And you can find it. It's the last video that we looked at. And if you look in that game, San Francisco, it's a third down, and they're dropping everybody back into coverage, and they're taking Davante Adams out. There's no way he's going to beat him. They're flooding, the marker, and Rodgers goes back. There's nothing there. He dumps it to Jamal Williams. He runs. He gets the first down. I think that play is so critical, because I think that's something they should be looking at against the 49ers. So if they're gonna double Davante Adams, and they're going to, you know, play too high or whatever, and their linebackers are going to drop back, get it to your backs in the passing game, out of the backfield. Use Tyler Irvin on those around, you know, and swing it out to him. I think they have to use their backs because that's going to take the defensive line out of the game. Then you don't have to hold your blocks forever, you know. They just block, quick, get it out to the back, and let them try to work on the linebackers.
Yeah, I mean, if for as good as Davante Adams is, and I know Aaron Rodgers said this week, hey, look, all the best offenses find ways to get the ball to their best guy. Well, you know, I just look at Michael Thomas in that Vikings game. Here's a guy, best single season in receiving history, and the Vikings took him away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Saints lost because they had nothing else going. And so I think it's a little dangerous for Rodgers or anyone to think if Davante Adams is being double covered, if there's a third guy hanging out to just force feed, I think your point is well made. There's Aaron Jones still has to be the engine.
Yeah.
Even if it's 3 yards a carry on 24 carries. Like I think it still starts off that, and then those linebackers, look, we know all Aaron Rodgers needs is a 4 foot window.
Mm-hmm.
So if those guys are up or can't drop as far, I mean, I think that's, at least for me, Tom, I think that's the thing they can't get away from or get frustrated by, even if it's not going well early.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing I think with Rodgers in this game is he's going to be tempted to take some shots down the field,
yeah,
take some, go for more than what he wants or what's there. And I think he's got to play within himself and take what's there and keep the ball moving. I think that's going to be really critical in this game. I don't know if San Francisco's going to come out blitzing. I don't know what their plan is. I do also have the sense that I'm just trying to read between the lines when Rodgers and LaFleur were talking, and I sort of had the feeling that they were saying, you know, the last time they were not prepared to adjust to what San Francisco brought at them. They had this game plan. They were really confident in it. And then Robert Saleh gave them something, and they didn't adjust to it.
And it all went to crap with a strip sack and they were in a hole in 4 minutes.
And I think I sort of got the sense that this time they feel like they'll be ready if San Francisco comes out in something they don't expect, or that they're going to be ready to adjust. Rodgers said that about the Seattle game, that one of the best things he thought they did was the make adjustments after, you know, Seattle started to the way Seattle played defense against them. So I'll be interested to see how that goes, to see if they get shut down early, do they find another way to try to get in the end zone?
Right, and it does. I thought it was interesting, Tom, you know, before we kind of look at the other side of the ball here, for Rodgers, it's fourth NFC title game, and for everyone who thinks the Packers or Mike McCarthy wasted his time or whatever, this is his fourth one. It is the most of his contemporaries in the conference. It is the second most behind Donovan McNabb since the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've all been on the road. He has not played well in three games in a cumulative effect. You know, I would say this year it's looked good in spots. We've sort of asked this, if this is the week, if there's a week for it to be good. I mean, I think he tried to speak himself into, you know, a hot streak after the 49ers game, and then it actually ended up being a five-game period of some of his most pedestrian football.
Yeah.
Where are you at in thinking he can stay within himself or stay within the offense? And even if it's 26 attempts, is it 20 completions at 9 yards a pop and no turnovers? I mean, is that there, or is it still just, as Matt LaFleur said, a handful of clutch throws?
Well, I think he has. Yeah, I think it is a handful of clutch
Okay.
Throws, I think he has to play better than Jimmy Garoppolo plays. So against Seattle, he, you know, Russell Wilson played out of his mind, but Rodgers made the clutch throws that were needed, and that's what they needed out of him. That might be the case here. They might need more from him this time. This time they may need him to play more like the MVP guy. They may need him to find something inside him that he can do more. But I don't think he should be trying to do more. I think he should be trying to complete passes and run the offense and trust the game plan and see if they can just be consistent and beat the 49ers that way. Don't get out of your comfort zone by, you know, scrambling all over the place. You can't scramble against these guys. They're gonna crush you. You know, they're fast and they can move and their secondary is pretty good. But I think there's going to be opportunities for them to complete some passes. And I think Rodgers just has to play this really smart. And then he has to be really accurate and he has to be on time and be really smart in his calls at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. That's well, you mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. I there's a Kirk Cousins factor there for me, Tom. I think...
I know you say that. I don't agree, but
I guess I mean, like, I don't think Kyle Shanahan wants to be in a situation where he's got to have that guy throw 30 or more times. Because if that's the case, I don't think they win. I think he's going to give it to you once or twice, or at least give you the opportunity to have it once or twice. And that also means the run game isn't working as well. So Jimmy might be better or might not have that track record of kind of choking in big games. But I don't think the 49ers want him having to win a game for them Sunday.
I would say that's probably true. I think more than anything, they're a running football team. They run. They want to run. They everything works off of their run game. I mean, they had a drive against the Vikings. They ran it eight straight times. I agree with you. I do think he's a bit of a game manager, but I also think he's got he's a very accurate thrower, and he can move. And those are all things that can be really clutch. It's not like he has you know, DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones playing for him. He has a great tight end, and then he's got pedestrian, you know, wide receivers. Debo Samuel's turned into a really nice player, but he's a rookie. You know, Emmanuel Sanders is really solid player, but he's not Devontae Adams. I think he, for what they ask of him, he is pretty good. I don't know if he can take over a game and win it like, you know, like a Drew Brees or Lamar Jackson or something like that. But I do think he's good enough to get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl.
So then, well, I guess, so there's a little, to me, I hear you agreeing with me that the 49ers are going to want Raheem Mostert, you know, the Coleman kid, and maybe Matt Breida to a lesser extent. I know he's had some fumble issues here the last few weeks for them to really carry the load. But what's interesting there, Tom...
But that's what they always want.
Right. But to me, so in that first game, and some of this is skewed because of the big pass plays and the short field for the first touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had three chunk runs. Mostert, Coleman, Wilson, you know... 60 yards on three runs, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you can't take those away, but the 49ers' run game wasn't as dominant or effective in that first game as it had been. And I would.
In a game against the Packers.
I would say, A, do you think the Packers' front is feeling good about their ability to maybe handle that run game? Not just based off film the first time, but what's happened since where they have kind of tightened some things up and some of these other... I mean, Saquon Barkley had some good runs in New York. He's that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't seen the 25-yard runs, the 15-yard runs, where an opposing team feels they can just hand it off, like maybe no. we thought was an issue earlier in the year.
No. Detroit ran the ball pretty effectively, yeah. but I'm not giving that game a ton of credence because, as I said a number of times, I think they were tired and beat up and hanging on after a Monday night game. But I also don't think they've faced anybody. You know, Marshawn yeah. Lynch is a shell of himself. Dalvin Cook wasn't around.
That's true.
You know, Adrian Peterson actually had a pretty good game against them. I think they've stopped giving up the big, huge run. And they have to stop the run. And I think Kenny Clark has to play the game of his life, too. He's got to eat up their center, Ben Garland, who's a backup to Weston Richburg, who's on IR. He has to win that matchup. They have to figure out a way to get him one-on-one, and then he's got to blow up that running game. I think that's going to be a real key to their success. And if they can slow down the running game, then if you do put that enormous pressure on Garoppolo, I'm not sure. We'll find out. Right. I don't know that he's had that onus on him, that he's had to. They went into New Orleans and scored 42 points, and I don't remember what his stats were, but I recall that he played pretty well.
Yeah, he's had a good season. And obviously, as you mentioned, Deebo Samuel, I'm not, you know, and I'm having some fun here. I'm not totally diminishing the year that he had. This is his first season, though, as a starter from start to finish. You know, he's thrown 13 interceptions, but finished with 100 rating. He's played well. I guess to me, Tom, I think the run game has been good enough for them where, you know, look, he's 22 attempts in a win in Seattle, 21 attempts in the loss to Baltimore, you know, 20 attempts in the win to Green Bay.
I think that's exactly what they – yeah, I mean, I think that's what that offense is.
Yeah.
I think it's those running backs, they got to have at least 25 to 30 yeah. carries, I think, in a game for them to be satisfied. I'm looking at the Seattle game, and they probably rushed 24 times against Seattle. So there's games where, Garoppolo, a lot was put on him. He completed 18 to 22 passes for 285 yards, but no touchdowns. So I don't think we've seen a game where everything rides on his shoulders. Like the running game has just been shut down. If that happens, we'll find out. I do agree with you that he's going to throw one or two balls that might be picked off, and that Green Bay's
they have to.
If they're in it, if it's in their hands, they got to have it.
Yeah, you can't. The Seattle game was one of just two victories this year where they've won a game without a turnover. That first one against Detroit.
Yeah,
I guess Packers fans shouting, they did get the turnover. It just wasn't upheld on review. Kevin King dropped a would-be interception.
Yeah,
I mean, that would have been a tough play with his momentum, but
still, it was in his hands.
It's kind of like that Alexander where he's sort of falling backwards. I forget what game that was earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Again, went through his hands. So those guys have to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not worry as much about running after it, but make sure you secure it. Well, you mentioned the backup center, Tom, and Kenny Clark. So that was the game that Mike Pettine unveiled the Z package, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused a fumble on the first time. Weston Richburg and Garoppolo botched that snap. It was almost
That's
a turnover.
Right. I forgot about that.
Coleman beat Zadarius Smith to the ball, and it's a specialty thing. It's not something they do all the time, but I'm curious. I don't think they did it as much against Seattle because there was such an emphasis on keeping Russell Wilson contained as much.
Yeah.
Grapple is mobile, but they don't want him doing that. So do we see that package a little more, and do you think that's an X factor to a degree where you know, you can maybe create some turnovers, as they will, create some pressure if it's third and five, third and six, an offense calls that manageable. Mm-hmm. But is that an area where the Packers can make it unmanageable, or maybe, you know, create some issues for San Francisco?
Well, third and five, third and six, Za'Darius Smith is going to be inside in the dime anyways, in the dime or nickel.
So you think it's more of an early down?
So when he lines up over the center, it's usually a run down, a first or second down, where he's kind of roaming and they have the three linebackers in there. I think that that could be dangerous for the Packers, because San Francisco wants to get outside. They always, I mean, that's their goal, is to get outside. And if they can pin Za'Darius Smith inside, you know, that's where I would worry about that particular play. And I wonder whether Pettine might think that he could put Za'Darius Smith outside and to George Kittle's side. Mm. And tell him to, you know, chuck that guy a little bit, you know, knock him off.
That's
his
about
routes.
The biggest guy they have to, just put it this way, Ibrahim Campbell's not going to do much to stop George Kittle off the line of scrimmage.
Nope. You know, you could try to use Oren Burks, but I, you know, and just say cover a man to man, but I wouldn't trust Oren Burks in an NFC Championship game.
Yeah, he hasn't played all year.
I would ask Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith to chuck them. It's going to take something away from your pass rush, but you got to somehow stop that guy. And, you know, that's what a Bill Belichick would do. He would figure out a way to take George Kittle out of the game, just like they're going to try to take Davante Adams out of the game. And I don't think you can sit there and do it with a zone and double coverage. I think you need to figure out a way to break up the timing between him and Garoppolo.
Yeah, and the catch and run for San Francisco, I think, is important. I mean, I don't – they're not a – we talked about this in the first matchup. They're not a push-it-down-the-field team.
No, they'll take the shot if it's there.
If it's there, but it is catch and run. It's high percentage, low-risk throws for the quarterback. And that's – I mean, the Packers saw it to a degree, and George Kittle, let's face it, he carries grown men with him 15 yards down the field. Sure. So Za'Darius Smith, you're right. While it may affect pass rush to a degree, I think that the cost benefit there of if you take that guy out of the first progression, because I'm guessing he's either the first read or the second right away for in a pass route, mm-hmm. In a pass play, excuse me. If you set that off. You know, maybe that for Za'Darius Smith to reroute then, or Preston Smith to get back into your rush lane, you know, that might help the rest of the defense too.
Yeah.
So I guess just finally, Tom, as we kind of wrap this up, what is, you know, of course, Packers fans want to know, how can they win? How can they beat a team that has clearly been the class of the NFC all year long, a very well-rounded team in all three phases, at home? What can make this different than the last, I guess, two NFC Championship games this Packers team has played in?
They have to get off to a decent start. I think with their first three drives, they have to avoid three and outs. They have to control the ball a little bit. Even if it just winds up with field goals, or even if it's a punt, they have to show the 49ers that it's going to be tough for them to get off the field. That, you know, their defense is going to have a little bit of a challenge getting off the field. And in the same vein, the offense is going to have to, you know, be on its game. And a three and out is
put pressure on them, that if a three and out,
they get a three and out, then their offense isn't going to be on the field for a while. I think Packers have to control the ball, win the clock. I think that's going to be a big part of the game. You know, I think it's going to be tough to run the ball, and I really think that the best use of Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones and Irvin is going to be in the pass game. And I think Aaron Jones could, if he caught 10 passes for 63 yards, that's 10 runs for 63 yards, you know? And I think that's, I'm interested to see whether they can do that. You know, they got to try to run it. They absolutely have to try. They might have success. You never know. But if they can't, then they got to get him the ball out in the flat and get the ball in your playmaker's hands one way or another.
Yeah, I think for me, Tom, I disagree a little bit there in that I do think they should make that run emphasis, even if it's I think Aaron Jones has to carry it 20 times. If you want to throw it to him another 10, all the better. I think Jamal Williams, look, he rushed 11 times, 45 yards in that first game. I think he needs more than just one carry as well. If you're going to talk about a very physical, fast game, fast defense, to me, I think it's keep it close. You know, that's how this Packers team wins.
Yeah.
The 49ers have some close wins on their end. I'm not discounting that. But I think there's an inherent confidence that this Packers team has, even if they're losing by 7 going into the fourth quarter or in the final 6 minutes, or if it's a tie game. I don't know. To me, Tom, I think they've just – the third down sack, the opportune turnover, the one catch to the guy who hasn't had a ball all day – for a first down. I think
those two third down completions were just so critical in the Seattle game.
So to me, I think that's I don't know how you get to that point, and I think you outlined a good way to keep it close, and that's of course not having those just huge mistakes, because San Francisco's too good. And if you turn it over, if you go three and out three in a row, if J.K. Scott has a 20-yard punt,
Or
you know,
something gets blocked.
Yeah, like that's that turns this on a dime. I think the Packers know that. So we'll see. We'll see. We will be out there in Santa Clara for you this weekend. As always, make sure to subscribe to jsonline.com, packersnews.com. For Packers fans, just $1. You get this whole month for $1. So you don't want to miss any of the things we're doing this weekend, potentially in Miami. And then, of course, anything after the season as well. I think a month from now, you're getting ready for the draft as well. So make sure to sign up for that deal. And, of course, download and all the apps we have, put on the push notifications. And also, make sure you head over to Pottawatomie on Thursdays in January. Battle for $5,000 in cash in the Battle Win Ball Game Show. Earn entries by playing with your club card all month at Pottawatomie. Learn more at paysbig.com/winball. So for Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you from Levi's Stadium in just a few days.
19!